a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Calling House Local Government to order. Thank you for coming, and thank you for listening to our internet listeners. That would be my husband. Please turn off your cell phones and your electronic devices. Yes, you can say hello to him. Secretary may call the roll.
Representatives Bruner. Here. Craig.
Here. Hi, Steve.
Greenfield.
Here.
Hawks is excused. Heineman.
Here.
Marty. Excused. Quam.
Here.
Rosem.
Here.
Shane Fish.
Here.
Soli.
Here.
Tolson.
I am here.
Otten is excused. And Consett.
Here. We have a quorum with the majority of the members-elect present. Assuming everyone has read the minutes, the chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Craig. Those in favor of approval of the minutes will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Seeing none, the minutes have been approved. Would the pages please come up and introduce themselves and tell us where you're going?
Hi, I'm Mike Dupick. I'm from Sioux Falls, go to Roosevelt High School, and I just got accepted to Northern State University and will major in banking and financial services and minor in political science.
Hi, I'm Jenna Johnson from Peer, and I plan to go to the University of Minnesota next year for business administration.
Wonderful. Thank you for your service. Make sure that you are signing in if you're going to testify today and have your badge if you are testifying on behalf of a lobbyist group. But if you are coming individually to represent yourself, you do not require a badge. Okay, we're going to get moving. We have five bills today. I'm going to open the hearing on Senate Bill 78, authorize counties or medical providers to recover inmate health care costs from insurers. So we will take proponent testimony in House Bill 78. Welcome, Representative.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Dan Dryden, State Representative from Rapid City, District 34. Senate Bill 78 is intended to help counties somewhat and to clarify the process of inmate health care. Counties are responsible, county commission, counties are responsible for inmate health care. However, what's happening is providers are sending, rather than going to their to the third-party payer, they're just sending the bills directly to the county, and the county has a tendency to pay the health care bill. And what this does, it requires the providers to seek payment from third-party payers before they submit the bill to the county for the county to pay it. So I think it'll help the counties out, and it clarifies the process. If the third-party payer denies payment or they can't find a third-party payer, then they submit it to the county with that documentation, and then the county pays it. So it's intended to clarify the process and help counties out with the cost of inmate care. I'd appreciate your support for Senate Bill 78.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 78. Welcome.
Good morning, Chairman Consett, committee members, Stacey Ackerman, South Dakota Sheriff's Association. We're here today to ask your support for Senate Bill 78. As was mentioned, under current law, South Dakota counties are responsible for the cost of health care for county inmates. What happens most often has been health care providers send the bill directly to the county for payment, as was previously mentioned. Counties have become accustomed to simply paying those bills, whether the inmate had health care coverage or not, when the services were delivered. Some had even been advised by local state's attorneys that they could not submit to an inmate's insurance provider. Those who have been collecting have a human resource staff person or someone who has gone the route of tracking down that information after the fact and then submitting it to the insurance company. The other option that some counties have been able to use is to file a lien against an inmate, which oftentimes costs as much in the labor as it does the compensation they receive back. Both of these options equate to additional expense. This bill simply makes it certain that if a third-party insurer is available, the bill has been sent to them for payment or denial first. If denied, the healthcare provider then sends the denial to the county, and the county pays. This assures that any third-party payer who may be liable for the bill pays first rather than simply sending it to the county. Senate Bill 78 does not obligate a third-party payer to pay or do anything that they are not already obligated to pay or do by virtue of existence of their insurance contract. How did this issue get brought up to us? In South Dakota, as you know, there are 66 counties, but only 26 jails. Most counties contract with another county for housing their prisoners. One of our counties came into contact with a woman who was wanted out of the state of Montana for some serious felony charges. She was then taken into custody and held in the neighboring county jail until Montana could come and pick her up. Because they have to go through what's called an extradition process, sometimes these people are held for a lengthy time. She had some medical issues and accumulated a lot in medical bills. Under most circumstances, the county where the person is arrested pays the medical bills. However, in this case, because they had arrested her for another state, that county had refused to pay the medical bills, leaving the county with the jail holding that bill. While making arrangements with the sheriff in Montana to pick this prisoner up, the sheriff who runs that jail was explaining this large amount of medical bills to him. The sheriff from Montana said not to worry. They would run it through her insurance, and his county would then pay what wasn't covered. As the two visited more, the sheriff learned that in Montana, healthcare providers must first submit the claim to the person's healthcare insurance. Then the county pays what is not covered. This seems so simple and straightforward, and if we are to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars we spend, if there is an easier way of doing things, then we needed to try to look at doing so in South Dakota as well. For these reasons, we ask for your support for Senate Bill 78. I will make myself available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 78. Proponent testimony. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Bob Wilcox with the County Commission Association. This is just a makes sense bill, checking all the possible resources of the payers prior to submitting the bill to the county and having the county the payer of last resort. So with that, we thank the sponsor of the bill and ask you for the support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 78. Proponent testimony? Seeing none, we will open this up for opponent testimony on Senate Bill 78. Opponent testimony on Senate Bill 78. Since there is no opponent testimony, I don't see the need for a rebuttal. At this time, I'll open it up for committee questions. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This question is for the lady from the Sheriff's Association, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
The question that I have for you is if somebody's put in the jail and the deductible is not covered for the insurance, who pays that? Who's responsible?
Madam Chair? I believe the county would. Ultimately, if the way I understand it, if the insurance is not active or if the insurance denies it, the county still pays whatever is owed.
Okay. So there is no lien put against the person that's put in jail or anything like
that? Madam Chair, I believe, and I'd have to go back and read the statutes regarding how we file liens, okay. But when an inmate is incarcerated, there's several things in statute where a county can go back and recover those costs through the lien process.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions on Senate Bill 78? Representative Sully.
Yes, just thank you, if I may. A quick question. So these other payers, would that include Medicaid then, or Medicare, those kinds, as well as private insurance?
Madam Chair, I do not believe Medicaid is covered. I believe just the private health insurance.
Follow-up, Medicare?
No, I do not believe Medicare is covered either.
May I continue?
Yes.
So these, are the rules related to those public insurance programs that prohibit them from paying for someone who is incarcerated? Is that the reason, or what is the reason?
Madam Chair, if I may, if I'm following, are you asking that we're bringing this because current
no.
rules prohibit it, or?
I'll try again. I'm trying to clarify what kind of eligible payers that would be. Only private insurance, or would also insurance such as Medicare or Medicaid, if the person had that, could they also be billed?
Madam Chair, if I may, the only two that I have been told would not be covered under this would be Medicare and Medicaid, and I believe there are other things in federal statute or state statute which prohibit that.
Thank you.
I apologize.
Any further questions? The chair now closes the public hearing portion on Senate Bill 78 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Bruner.
Move to pass.
It's been moved by Representative Bruner, seconded by Representative Heineman, to do pass on Senate Bill 78. Any discussion, sir?
Yeah, I guess it comes under the category of bills that why haven't we done this before now? And there's, it's like we've stated several times, there's no time like the present. So with that, I just urge do pass.
Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 78. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will please call the roll.
Representatives Bruner, Craig,
aye.
Greenfield,
aye.
Hawks is excused. Heineman,
aye.
Marty,
aye.
Qualm,
aye.
Rosem,
aye.
Shanefish,
aye.
Soli,
aye.
Tolson,
aye.
Otten,
aye.
Consett,
aye.
We have 12 yay, one excused.
Senate Bill 78, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes.
Madam Chairman.
Representative.
Move consent.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Qualm and seconded by Representative Craig. Move consent on Senate Bill 78. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. So moved. Senate Bill 78 is now on the consent calendar. Moving straight forward, the chair will now open up the hearing on Senate Bill 81. I'm looking for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 81. Welcome, Representative.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Don Hager, a representative from District 10. And I come before you to ask for your support of Senate Bill 81. What it does is there's a fee involved for court costs. This is a bill that'll help the counties. And you know, we've had a number of discussions this session about some of the fiscal challenges of the counties, in particular as it relates to court and jail costs and law enforcement costs. And this is a small effort to defray some of those costs. And so with that, I'll just ask for your support. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 81. Welcome.
Good morning. State Senator Dave Omdahl, District 11. I appreciate you being able to present this bill. I come before you with Senate Bill 81. This is a simple bill to help compensate counties through the state by adding a $50 processing fee to those individuals who are convicted of driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs. I ask you to think of this as a user fee tied to those individuals who choose to break the law while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. These individuals convicted of driving under the influence use our law enforcement, our county jails, and our county court systems at taxpayers' expense. The $50 minor user fee or processing fee will be collected at the time of conviction and go into the county general fund for the persons convicted of driving under the influence. He or she will still have to pay the DUI fine and other associated costs. I ask for your support of Senate Bill 81, and I stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 81. Welcome back.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Bob Wilcox with the County Commission Association. I'd like to thank the sponsors of the Senate Bill of the Senate Bill 81. We appreciate any type of support and financial help we can get at the county level, and it's another thinking outside the box, as I may say. Certainly ask you for the support of this piece of legislation as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 81. Welcome.
Good morning, Chairman, Committee Members, Stacey Ackerman, South Dakota Sheriff's Association. We're here today in support, and I just wanted to lend a voice. At the county level, as Senator Otten had said, the county is responsible for everything from a law enforcement perspective to housing those people in jail, also to the court costs, and that includes your defense attorneys. So there's a wide range of people who are involved at the county level, and the county taxpayers go to compensate those things, and $50 in no way covers 100% of what the county incurs for costs for prosecutions. You know, when you have DUI checkpoints and all that, you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And this goes a little way into helping our county budgets and relieving some of the burden on the taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 81. Proponent testimony, Senate Bill 81. Seeing none, opponent testimony to Senate Bill 81. Opponent testimony. At this time, I'll open up to committee questions. Representative Marty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Why did we just set it at $50? What was the why couldn't we go to 75 or 100?
Thank you, Representative. Good question. What I set this is a, you know, you could set it too high and people won't pay the fee or can't pay the fee. I think this is a reasonable amount after discussing with other individuals, and so that's how we come with the $50. Good question.
Thank you. Further questions, Representative Soley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Amdahl, I had a similar question.
Sure.
So thank you for answering that first one. But what I'm wondering is, if are we opening the door? Are there other crimes such as this where we might want to impose fees that would go along with a conviction? And are there already situations where we do this?
Madam Chair, thank you for the question. Yes, this I kind of modeled this after the domestic violence fee that's paid on there, and that's kind of what this is modeled after. Sure, there are other, we'll say, costs that are associated with the additional fine, but yeah, so this is just modeled after that.
Follow-up? And the domestic violence fee, is that $40?
I think that's $25, if I understand.
Or it's less. Yeah. Thank you.
Further questions by the committee on Senate Bill 81? Seeing none, the chair now closes the public hearing portion on Senate Bill 81 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Representative Shane Fish.
I move to pass.
Does he have a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Shane Fish and seconded by Representative Quam on passage of Senate Bill 81. Discussion.
It's just another way to help counties with their costs, and they need all the help they can get.
Thank you, Representative. Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 81. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Bruner,
aye.
Craig,
aye.
Greenfield,
aye.
Hawks is excused, Heineman,
aye.
Marty,
aye.
Quam,
aye.
Rosem,
aye.
Shane Fish,
aye.
Soley,
aye.
Tolson,
aye.
Otten,
aye.
Consett,
aye.
We have 12 yea, one excused.
Any further discussion? Seeing Representative Tolson. It's been moved consent on Senate Bill 81. Does he have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Representative Craig. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
No.
So it will not move consent. Now we're back to the original.
Craig.
We'll move do pass on Senate Bill 81. Moves to the floor. The chair will now open up the public hearing on Senate Bill 87. Looking for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 87. Welcome, Representative.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and wise and powerful members of the House Local Government Committee. I bring before you today Senate Bill 87, and hopefully a smile. There are two statutes that cover when a vacancy is created in a municipal office. One in Title IX is very clear, that moving out of town or the ward which someone was elected creates a vacancy. But the section in Title III isn't very clear. Senate Bill 87 clears up the language, and as someone whose mother is mayor of a small town, it makes the language much more gender neutral, which is wonderful. So with that, if there's any other questions, I will be available for them. Thank you.
Well, by all means, you got off to a great start with this committee. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 87.
Thank you. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League, and we're going to see if this works. Most exalted chairwoman and members of the committee. We did ask Representative Wick to bring this bill forward. He has explained pretty much what it does. There are two different statutes that don't quite match. We think when two statutes address the same topic, it's really neat if they make sense together. And so that's all we're trying to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 87. Proponent testimony? Seeing none, we will move on to opponent testimony on Senate Bill 87. Opponent testimony, Senate Bill 87. This time, I will open it up for committee questions. Seeing none, the chair now closes the public hearing on Senate Bill 87 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Move to pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Craig that Senate Bill 87 move do pass, seconded by Representative Soley. Comments, sir?
No, oh gracious exalted leader.
All right. It has been moved.
Madam Chair.
Representative Soley.
I'm very relieved that we're getting a chance to vote, that there certainly wouldn't be a municipal officer that had committed an infamous crime.
Well, thank you for that comment. We are going to now take a vote on Senate Bill 87. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Cox is excused. Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Soley.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
12 yea, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 87, having received a majority of the vote of the members present, passes.
Madam Chair.
Representative.
I move consent.
One moment. Thank you, Representative Greenfield, for that motion of moved consent, seconded by Representative Craig. Any discussion? Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
What? That wasn't loud enough.
Explain what an infamous crime is.
Yeah.
Well, Senate Bill 87, having received a majority of the vote in favor of moving consent, those in favor will say aye.
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 Those opposed? Just wanted to clarify that. Senate Bill 87 will move consent.
Roll call. Yeah.
I'm going to be fast. I need to be faster with the gavel. At this point, I'm going to hand the gavel over to my left.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We will now move on to Senate Bill 88. Do we have any proponent testimony for Senate Bill 88? Representative.
Good
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Fred Deutsch, representing District 4, and my district mate, John Wick, Representative Wick, is a hard act to follow, but I'll do my best with Senate Bill 88. The bill is an act to authorize an emergency appointment to the Municipal Election Board. Now, it's a pretty simple bill. Each voting district has an election board, which is appointed by the governing body. However, somebody can obviously get sick or otherwise be unable to serve for some reason. This bill simply allows that type of vacancy to be filled by having the person in charge of the election, the municipal finance officer, without having to call a special board meeting of the governing body. The bill makes changes only in Title IX, so only municipal elections are affected. That's pretty much it. I urge your support of the bill, and I'll hang around for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Do we have any other proponent testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This Von Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League again shows that we pick the correct primes for these bills. He explained it thoroughly, and we urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponent testimony for Senate Bill 88? Any other proponent testimony? If not, we will move on to opponent testimony for Senate Bill 88. Do we have any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? If not, I will close the hearing portion of the bill, and we will move into committee questions and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. Without this bill, what is now happening when there's a vacancy? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League. Technically, they're calling a special meeting of the City Council and having that position appointed. In reality, the finance officer is appointing the person on the day of the election.
Do you have any further questions from the committee? If not, I will entertain
Mr. Chair?
Representative Consett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass on Senate Bill 88.
Second.
We have a first by Representative Consett and a second by Representative Heineman on a due pass motion on Senate Bill 88. Is there any discussion on that?
No, sir.
Okay, it has been moved by Representative Consett, seconded by Representative Heineman. On a due pass motion for Senate Bill 88, I will have the Secretary call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawks is excused. Heineman.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Quam.
Aye.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
We have 12 yay, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 88 has received an affirmative vote of a due pass motion. We'll move on to the floor. I have a motion by Representative Heineman.
Second.
And a second by Representative Consett for consent. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. That's what we like. All right, we'll now move on to the hearing for Senate Bill 111. Is there any proponent testimony for Senate Bill 111? Welcome, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I didn't plan on getting up and speaking here, but my senator, fellow representative from district or senator from district 8 could not make it up here in time. So here I am. Today I bring forth to you Senate Bill 111, an act to repeal the provision that invalidates absentee ballots cast by voters who die before the date of election. This may seem like a rather different bill to bring into the legislative process. However, with changes to the Voters Act in 2008, we changed how we conduct elections here in South Dakota. Prior to 2008, if one wished to vote absentee, they had to go to the courthouse and present a reason for voting, what we called then absentee voting. In 2008, South Dakota, along with the rest of the states, implemented the Military and Overseas Voters Empowerment Act, which introduced early voting. This act essentially opened the polls for voting 45 days prior to election, and in this last previous election, that was September 19th. You might ask, why bring an issue like this forward at all? Well, while visiting with families who have lost loved ones or had them pass away, many times they have said that mom or dad were able to vote before they passed. It is difficult to tell them that while it was wonderful that they had an opportunity to exercise the right to vote, that their vote won't count under current South Dakota statute. Generally, their first reaction is why not, and then they say that that's not fair. Well, it is not fair. We have opened the polls, and they have voted legally, and that because they have passed, their vote doesn't count. You might have seen this bill referred to by some bloggers as the Dead People Voting Bill, which would lead one to believe that something illegal has occurred. Well, this simply is not true. These people all cast their votes legally at a legal polling place and are legal voters. Enforcement of polling ballots is also somewhat haphazard, in that the Office of Vital Statistics notifies counties of deaths, but if the county auditor doesn't pull the ballot of the deceased on that list, or the ballot doesn't get pulled because the person dies the day before election day, notification isn't received until after the votes are counted. Oftentimes, it could take up to 5 days to issue a death certificate, and in those cases, ballots of deceased who died several days before election could be counted, while someone who voted on September 19th and died on October 1st would not have their ballot counted. As a state, we said you can legally vote 45 days before the election, and we won't count any votes until election day. But what Senate Bill 111 will do is allow for all of the legally cast votes to be counted on election day. Mr. Chair and members of the Local Government Committee, I ask that you honor the rights of those who voted legally and allow that all votes cast while the polls are legally open to be counted by passing Senate Bill 111. I would like to point out that this passed through the Senate 34-0. Thank you, and I look forward to any questions you might have.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponent testimony? On Senate Bill 111? Not, we'll move on to opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony on Senate Bill 111? Any opponent testimony on Senate Bill 111? Seeing none, there's no reason for a rebuttal. I will now open it up for committee questions. Seeing no questions at this time, I will open it up for committee discussion. And do you have a question?
No.
No committee action or discussion? Yep. Representative Soli.
Mr. Chair, I move to pass.
We have a due pass motion from Representative Soli and a second from Representative Consett. Do we have any discussion on that motion?
Just grateful that folks thought to bring this. It certainly makes sense. It isn't fair if some dead people get counted and some don't. Something we didn't think about ahead of time. Glad to correct it.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Berner.
Well, I don't necessarily stand in favor of this. I think what we've been doing has been working pretty well. And basically it's in that what was stated is the polls have opened. They voted. The polls are not open. The polls don't open until Election Day. And so they haven't really voted. And I think what we've been doing is working. If they doesn't say it's supposed to be 100%, it says if they've discovered or have sufficient cause to believe that any voter has died or whatever, in my mind, we're just stepping into something we don't necessarily need to mess with, and I'm going to vote against it.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is a due pass motion for Senate Bill 111. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
No.
Craig.
Pass.
Greenfield.
No.
Hawks is excused. Heineman.
No.
Marty.
No.
Qualm.
No.
Rosem.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Craig?
Nope.
Otten?
Aye.
Consett?
Aye.
We have a tie, which is a fail.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Representative Soli.
I'm a little new to this, but it's, in another committee, when there was a tie, we deferred action till the missing person was here. I believe that's your prerogative.
Yep, and that's what I will do unless there is anybody here who is so inclined to change their thought process. So we will defer action on this until the next committee meeting.
Before you strike the gavel, I'll change my vote so we can send it to the House floor.
I need a new motion.
To reconsider.
Senate Bill 111.
Something has significantly changed in the makeup of the committee.
Just defer.
Okay. We'll just defer until we have a full committee, and that will make the process a lot simpler and will be fair. Okay. That's the end of our hearing for bills today. We will now have, I believe, four bills next week. So pay attention to the time to make sure we are starting at 10 again. Is there any discussion for the benefit of the committee? If not, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
I have a first by Representative Heineman, a second by Representative Consett. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved.